What is going on, everybody? This is the Callaway Sports Podcast. I am your host, Kendall Callaway, and here we are back again with another episode. I know it's been a long time, but I felt like this was no better time to come back with a big fight on the horizon, July 29th, Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Bud Crawford at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Undisputed hopes and dreams are on the line, and this is one we've all been waiting for. All fight fans have been waiting for this one. So that's exactly what we'll be covering in this podcast episode. Stay tuned for more, and y'all know what it is, man. The Callaway Sports Podcast, we're back up and running. Let's get it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, no time to waste. Let's get right into it, man. We got a lot to cover in this highly anticipated fight between Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Bud Crawford. Man, I got my notes sitting in front of me. I got my water sitting in front of me. I'm ready, man. It's been a long time coming. So let's get right into it, man. First, we're going to cover the unified champ, Errol Spence Jr., the big fish, the truth, and Mr. Man Down himself. Spence is a unified champion holding the IBF, WBC, and the WBA welterweight titles. He has a 28-0 record with 22 knockouts. And his most notable wins will obviously be his first title win against Kell Brook in 2017, his first unification fight against Sean Porter in 2019, and then his most recent performance against Yordanis Ugas, where he captured the WBA welterweight title. So let's kick things off with Earl, man. Obviously, if you watch boxing, casual fan, hardcore fan, really doesn't matter. You know who Errol Spence Jr. is, and we know he's a punisher. You know, he's a punisher. He has great power, great fundamentals, southpaw, body snatcher. He brings all of those tools to the table, and he's just been great at it. You know, when you look at his fights against Ugas, you look at his fights against Mikey Garcia, the way he was able to compose himself, stay composed, and dominate Kell Brook in his home country in the second half of that fight. I mean, Earl has it all, you know, when it comes down to just being a great, great fighter. You know, he's an old school fighter. You know, for me, since I've been watching boxing, I pretty much stayed in my era, you know, the Floyd Mayweather era, the Manny Pacquiao era, you know, pretty much from like 2005 on up. Obviously, I came into boxing because of Roy Jones Jr. And eventually, I took time out to go back and start watching older fighters maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And that's what Earl really reminds me of. He reminds me of a 2.0 Marvin Hagler, you know. Some of these guys that's in your face, come to fight. He's not looking to outpoint you or anything like that. He's going out there to destroy you, you know, plain and simple. And with that being said, I don't believe that Terrence Crawford has faced anybody that brings that type of, you know, pressure and power and just unrelenting. You know, Earl is an unrelenting force in there, you know. That's what he brings to the table. He's in your face. He has a great pace. And I think the scary thing about Spence that a lot of people don't really realize, you know, people talk about the body punching and, you know, the jab. Obviously, the jab is very, very important. We're going to get to that. But I think what people fail to realize about Earl is he does not stop. And as a fight goes on, where some guys slow down, Earl tends to get better. He speeds up. The pace increases. You know, he is. I like what Roy Jones said. Errol Spence Jr. is like a pressure cooker. You know, he's constantly heating up. He's constantly heating up. He's constantly heating up, you know, until pretty much his job is done. And I think that's something he brings to the table in this fight that will bring Terrence Crawford some trouble. You know, obviously, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that, but we're going to also cover Terrence Bud Crawford, who's a WBO welterweight champion, 39-0, 30 knockouts. He stopped everybody since he's been at 147 pounds. His most notable wins, Sean Porter, stopped him. Kell Brook, stopped him. And I'm going to go back to when he was a lightweight, when he fought a prime, Uriokas Gamboa, stopped him. So Terrence Crawford's nothing to be played with as well. He brings a lot to the table. I think the ability to switch, obviously, makes him dangerous. Earl hasn't really seen anybody as skilled as Terrence Crawford that switches, you know. Bud has a reach advantage in this fight. I don't think Earl has really seen anybody that's, you know, that has a reach advantage over him because he's such a big welterweight. He's usually bigger than everybody he's faced. Terrence, with his ability to pick up data in a fight early on, is just, I feel like it's the closest thing to Floyd Mayweather. You know, within those first 2 to 3 rounds, these guys are picking up data and they can adapt to any style that they, you know, pretty much have been faced with in a boxing ring. I think that's what makes Terrence Crawford so dangerous, so skilled. In my opinion, I think, you know, it's really what sets him apart from other fighters, not just in the welterweight division, but other fighters in the entire sports of boxing. You know, with Terrence, what he brings to the table, I believe it's a master of range. When you watch Bud fight, it's very hard to not get hit when you're in his range. You know, his ability to switch, obviously, has power in both hands. So very smart, great footwork. You know, those are things that Bud brings to the table. I think the most important thing that Bud brings to the table is just his IQ, his boxing IQ, his ability to, you know, he has so many different layers. You know, he can fight you right-handed, he can fight you left-handed, he can fight going forward, he can fight going backwards, you know, he can counterpunch, he can bang, and most importantly, he's stopping guys when he gets you hurt. In my opinion, I think Bud is the best finisher in boxing today, because when he gets you hurt, it's a done deal. It's over. You know, Bud is stopping guys. You know, he stopped Sean Porter. Nobody had ever done that. if you see how quick he stopped Kell Brook with what looked like a jab, but it was really a short, sharp right hand, you know, from the southpaw stance. I mean, those are things that Terrence Crawford brings to the table. You know, this is a 50-50 fight because both of these guys are bringing to the ring something that their opponent has not seen. So one of the things I want to cover too that a lot of people are not, and I'm going to get this out the way first before I dig in, you know, deeper with both of these guys, skill set is the trainers and the game plan. It's really going to come down to this as well. What trainer prepares their fighter the best come July 29th, and what game plan, you know, they're looking to bring. Both of these fighters have great, great trainers. You know, Derek James, obviously, has been trainer of the year multiple times. He has a great stable. I think that's to the advantage of Earl as well, that he has such a great trainer and such great, you know, he has such a great team over there. Anthony Joshua now trains with Derek James, who's a former heavyweight champion, unified heavyweight champion. You got Ryan Garcia, who just joined, who's a great, you know, great young fighter. Obviously, he just lost his last fight, but it doesn't take away what Ryan Garcia brings to the table. He's a special talent. Frank Martin is a young, up-and-coming lightweight. Jermell Charlo, the undisputed super welterweight world champion. You know, they have a great team over there, and it's all because of Derek James on how he prepares his fighters and how he, you know, keeps them in line. He keeps them composed. He keeps a good solid game plan for these guys, and this is why they're, you know, successful, especially, you know, obviously Jermell and Earl. On the other side with Terrence, he has Bomek, you know, obviously is a great trainer. He has the best fighter in boxing, in my opinion, pound for pound, number one. But there's no slouch either when it comes down to who he brings in to help him, you know, prepare for these fights. Obviously, he has Shakur Stevenson in camp. Shakur Stevenson is one of the best fighters out there as well. Skillfully, I think he is better than a lot of fighters. Shakur is a southpaw, so I think it's very, very important that he uses a southpaw to prepare. I believe he has Willie Monroe Jr., who's a southpaw. You know, they're putting the right pieces in place, both of these guys. You know, their trainers, their teams are all doing the correct things to prepare their fighters. But to get that out of the way, I'm going to go into what I feel will be important in these fights, man. And first, we're going to start with Earl. Earl has to work the jab early, obviously. It's cool to see just watching film. Obviously, I've been watching Earl for a long time, but to really key in on what stands him, you know, apart from Terrence and what he brings to the table that can bring Terrence problems, as well as what he does that may be in favor of Terrence Crawford. And first, you know, we got to start with the jab. Earl has one of the best jabs in boxing. And it's not a jab where it's he's just throwing it out there. He's really, Earl has a busy jab, you know. He's not, you're never not going to catch Earl Spence using his jab. And it's a powerful jab. It's a strong jab. Not too many people know how to deal with it, you know. You have to have a good, solid IQ to go in there and deal with Earl Spence's jab. And the only fighter that I've seen do that has been Kell Brook. And we've seen what happened to Kell Brook. You know, he eventually fell to the pressure and the pace that Earl Spence puts on. And truthfully, Earl working behind the jab early on could cause Bud trouble. Just off the fact that where people see Bud as a slow starter, I just see him as picking up the data. But with Earl, he's one of those guys where he's coming right at you. And with Bud kind of, you know, trying to master, you know, the range, try to gauge the range and things like that, it could cause some trouble because once Earl gets the jab going, everything comes behind the jab. If you watch the fight with me, you know, I'm one of the last people in the room and I'm constantly yelling, you know, at the TV, like Earl can hear me, but I'm constantly yelling, everything comes behind your jab. And it does. When Earl Spence gets going, everything is coming behind his jab. And it's beautiful to watch. It's lovely to watch because he's setting traps out there. I don't think people really see how smart Earl Spence is in there as well. You know, everything he throws with a purpose. You know, he's not wasting shots out there. And I think that's one of the things that I love about Earl Spence the most. He's never out of position. You know, he's always in position, in range to punish his opponent. Whether he's got your back against the ropes or it's in the middle of the ring. You know, that's just the skills that he brings to the table. And one thing for sure is if you go back and watch Spence versus Chris Van Heerden, which was another southpaw, you see the combination that he uses to set up, you know, the backhand, set up the body shots. And these are shots I've seen Terrence Crawford have trouble with early on. I watched Terrence versus Julius Ndongo. I watched Terrence versus Felix Diaz, who these guys were southpaws. And Earl uses that jab to set up, you know, if he's coming with a double jab, a straight is coming behind it. Sometimes an overhand. Maybe it's just a simple 1-2. I've seen Bud be, you know, Bud get caught by these shots early on. And it could cause trouble because it's not like Earl is a light puncher, you know. He's heavy-handed. And if Bud gets cracked with one of these shots early, who knows what can happen. Now, on the flip side, we do know how things tend to turn when Terrence Crawford gets hit. He gets pissed off. He gets angry, and he hits another gear. But has he been hit by somebody that brings to the table the power that Earl Spence possesses? You know, the combination punching, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how things play out in this fight. But to switch sides for Terrence Crawford, when he's in the southpaw stance and those exact fights that I just stated, Julius Ndongo, Felix Diaz, what Bud uses very well that I believe would cause Spence trouble is the fact that he uses a jab, but most of the time when Terrence is setting things up from the southpaw stance, he's coming with a 2-3. Now, that 2 is a backhand, the straight punch, followed by a right hook. And I watched these fights with Earl where most guys parry with their lead hand, Earl parries with his backhand. So it leaves an opening for that right hook. And he's usually using his right hand, his lead hand, the right, you know, the right arm to block. So if he's using that to block and he's using his backhand to parry, that straight punch that Bud is throwing most likely is going to get caught by the right arm but the right hook is a very good window for Bud to land that shot. And if you know Terrence Crawford, he's a switch hitter, but he's naturally a right-handed fighter. That means his power is usually comes from the backhand. He stopped Kell Brook with a short, sharp right hand. So that could also cause trouble for Errol Spence. And we don't know how Earl will react to somebody with the punching power of Terrence Crawford. Don't get it twisted. Terrence Crawford does bring power to this fight. Sean Porter's never been a big puncher. Ugas has never been a big puncher. You know, Mikey Garcia was really a lightweight that came up to welterweight, had no business doing that. So Earl hasn't been in there with somebody with some real, real punching power outside of Kell Brook. But with somebody like Terrence Crawford, you know, he could potentially get hurt in this fight. Obviously, anybody can get hurt in any fight, but we've seen Errol Spence really take a shot pretty well in every fight that he's been in. Another thing, EJ goes high guard when combinations are coming his way. And with somebody like Terrence Crawford, who is a great combination puncher, and he puts punches together well, I'm not sure that'd be the best thing. You know, obviously, Earl has a lack of head movement as well. I've said this plenty of times, and I love Earl. You know, Earl has been one of my favorite fighters as well, but I've constantly said in his last few fights, Earl does not move his head enough. And that could be a problem in this fight. It really could. The fact that he doesn't move his head enough. I see him get caught with some shots from Ugas in the last fight that I really just didn't like, you know. Also, Bud is a excellent counterpuncher. And that just goes from him picking up the data that he needs to in those first two or three rounds, and now he's setting traps and things like that, and he's setting you up. I love the fact that Crawford uses that lead hand out of the southpaw stance to really gauge the range and keep you at the end of all his punches. And even if you tend to close a distance, you're going to eat some punches when it comes down to Terrence Crawford. You know, that's just how sharp and smart that he is in the ring. So, the pace for Earl is a key. I think the pace, how he increases the pace against Terrence, is going to be the key. If somehow, some way, he could slow Terrence down, it's going to, if he can slow Terrence down and keep his pace constantly going up, it'll be the same old Errol Spence fight. A brutal beatdown, you know. It'll be a brutal beatdown, and eventually we see how those type of fights go. You know, it's him whitewashing you 1 through 12, winning on every judge's scorecard, or it's him just breaking your will, breaking you down, and then eventually stopping you. So that's the key for me for Earl, is the pace and making this an inside fight. You know, if he can get in, if he can bag Bud up, can, you know, if he's controlling the pace, he makes this an inside fight, he's digging to the body, he's wearing Terrence down, all in favor will be for Errol Spence Jr., because that's what he does, man. He fights no other way. Earl is going to get in your face, he's going to get in your chest, he's going to beat you up, he's going to brutalize you for 12 rounds or however long it is. But just know that this man is a machine. There's no slowing Errol Spence down. I haven't seen it. The high-paced fight that he had with Sean Porter didn't slow down not one bit. If he did, I really couldn't tell. I seen Sean Porter slow down, though, from the constant body shots, the constant pressure. Earl being in your face, Earl slapping you and hitting you with this strong, tough jab, beating your body up. He's stalking you all around the ring. You having to move like that is tiring, you know, constantly getting hit, constantly having to throw punches. It wears you down, man, and Errol Spence is built for it. He's built for a fight like that. But in the other corner for Terrence Crawford, along with him being an excellent counterpuncher, Bud is very, very athletic. If you watch him in the ring, you see the way he moves, the footwork. You know, he can turn you, fight going forward, fight going backwards, you know, as I stated before. But in the midst of all that, you know, he finds a way to set traps, land punches. And I think the key for Terrence Crawford in this fight is to be unpredictable. be unpredictable. And the main thing is occupy Earl's lead hand, which is the right hand, his jab hand. If Terrence can occupy Earl's lead hand, it will open up, you know, different shots, different angles, and placement of punches, you know. And Terrence Crawford is great at that. When he's putting those combinations together, when he's throwing these straight punches followed by the right hook and then a left uppercut and then another right hook, he's very good. Earl has not really seen those punches come from somebody as skillful as Terrence Crawford and with the power that Terrence Crawford possesses. You know, I've said time and time again how smart this man is, and the closest thing to Floyd Mayweather when it comes down to a boxing IQ. You know, that's what makes Terrence Crawford great. And obviously, a key for both men, I truly do believe the super X factor in this fight will be the jab. Who's the master of the jab in this fight? Terrence uses his jab in different ways that Earl Spence doesn't. Earl uses his jab in a powerful way to set everything up. And Terrence uses his jab behind other punches. He doesn't really use it as a lead very often. You don't really see Terrence out jabbing too many guys. We've seen Earl Spence go out there and out jab everybody. And as he's landing his jab, other punches are coming behind it. But Terrence Crawford, on the other hand, uses that jab as really a disguise and a distraction. You know, he may, you know, it's not really a normal jab. What's the best way to put it? The jab that Terrence Crawford throws is what they call a swivel jab. So it's a jab. It's considered a jab, but it's the only jab in boxing that would be counted as a power punch. Now, if you know anything about boxing, if you watch boxing fights, anything other than a jab is considered a power punch. So when they're doing these stats and they're throwing the numbers out there, they're saying, oh, well, he landed 29% of his power punches as anything other than a jab. The way Terrence angles this swivel jab is what they like to call it. It's considered a power punch. And I truly do believe that's the punch that he threw that stopped Kell Brook. So it's not much as he doesn't use his jab to set up offense. He uses his jab, you know, as really a threat. You know, Earl is using that jab to set everything up. Terrence is using his jab off of the left hand, off of the right. You know, if he's right-handed, he's using it off of the straight punch, and he's throwing the left swivel jab. If he's in southpaw, he's throwing the left straight with the right swivel jab. So how these guys use the jab is going to be very, very important. And it's going to come down to who's using it better, who's using it in a more effective way, which man has more heart, the will to win, which one of these trainers prepared their fighter the best way possible, has the best game plan. You know, Earl is an underrated counterpuncher. People don't see that. Go watch the Sean Porter fight and watch the shots he was walking Sean Porter into. This is a 50-50 fight, man. And truth be told, it's a hard fight to break down. It's a hard because you got two guys in their prime who are great at what they do. They're great at what they do, man. It's tough to really pick a winner. As long as we've been talking about this fight, when I say we, I mean boxing fans all over the world, as long as we've been discussing a potential Earl Spence and Terrence Crawford fight, which is now upon us 2 weeks out, it's a 50-50 fight, man. It's a 50-50 fight. It really is. I've been a fan of both guys for years now. For years. I noticed, I found out about Terrence Crawford in 2014, and the following year, discovered Earl Spence Jr. So I've been fans of these guys for a very, very long time. And as hard as it is for me to pick a winner, people have been asking me for years. I've gotten a lot of questions recently. I'm going to be completely honest with you. For years, I said Earl Spence just off the fact that he's a bigger welterweight, the bigger guy, his pace, his style, maybe too much for Terrence. But then I really, really, really had to be honest with myself because it was a bias kicking in there. You know, Earl is from the city, you know. Earl is from Dallas, Texas, so it was some bias kicking in. But when Terrence Crawford made that move to welterweight, he fought Jeff Horn. I knew he was going to beat Jeff Horn. Stopped Amir Khan. Stopped Jose Benavidez Jr. stop Kell Brook, stop Sean Porter. But even before the Porter fight, but the Porter fight really showed me too. Those last two fights, I believe like in 2018 and 2019, just showed me. I'm like, oh man, this fight closer than what people say it is. And I had to get that bias feeling out of me. 50-50 fight, y'all. It's a 50-50 fight. And I do feel that Terrence Crawford will edge Errol Spence out in this fight, man. I know a lot of people they're going to get me for that because I'm from the city. I'm from Dallas, born and raised. And I'm not going with the hometown guy. But I have to be honest with myself. I have to be real with myself. And I let my boxing mind, really dictate on how I truly, truly feel. And I do feel that Terrence Crawford's IQ, his athletic ability, how smart he is, the adjustments that he makes is what is going to win him this fight. And I'm not saying that he's just... Like I said, man, it's tough. I'm not saying that it's going to be an easy fight or anything like that for Terrence, but I truly do believe, just from watching Floyd Mayweather my entire life pretty much and seeing how his IQ and the adjustments that he makes made great fighters look like ordinary fighters, it would not surprise me if Terrence Crawford makes it that way. Truthfully, it would not surprise me. Just like on the other end, it wouldn't surprise me if Errol Spence completely overwhelms Terrence Crawford, Both of these guys have that ability in this fight. I just feel like Terrence Crawford has the edge. If Errol Spence wins this fight, will it surprise me? No. It's a 50-50 fight in my book. For those people who pay attention to betting odds and things like that, go search them up. The moment that this fight was announced, it was so close. So close. I truly believe come fight night, July 29th, it's going to say a pick'em fight. The betting odds is going to be dead even. That's just how I feel. It wouldn't surprise me if Errol Spence won this fight. It wouldn't surprise me if Terrence Crawford won this fight. Truth be told, I just want to be a fight fan. I said for the longest I wasn't going to pick a winner. But over the past 5 or 6 months, it's been hard for me to ignore the fact that I've been leaning more towards Terrence Crawford winning this fight. Both of them are bad men. I just think Terrence has more tools in the tool shed. He got more tools in his tool bag, however you want to put it. I do believe that the fact that he has layers, fight right-handed, fight left-handed, it makes him tough to deal with because it's an unpredictability. When you're training for somebody like Terrence Crawford, you got to bring a right-handed fighter to come in there and spar with. You got to bring a left-handed fighter to spar with and just to prepare yourself for it. Not to mention, we do know that Errol Spence has one style. He's great at it, Dang good at it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I just feel like the guy with more to bring to the table is a guy that'll potentially win this fight. And that's my stance on it, man. That's the spoiler. A lot of people been asking me for a long time, who you got? Who you got? And there it is. And who knows, man? Who knows? I'm hoping that my mind won't change. I pay attention to a lot of things outside of boxing, outside of the actual fight. I pay attention to press conferences. I pay attention to interviews and things like that. I'm really, really interested to see come fight week, that final press conference and weigh-in, because it's a shift that happens in both of these guys. We know about that shift. Terrence Crawford turns into Bud Crawford when it's game time then. And the big fish goes into, hunting season. It's hunting mode. He's looking to put somebody in the dirt, as he say. So, if you are a fight fan, casual, hardcore fans, I don't have to tell you too much. I really don't have to tell too much to the casual fans, because I know what this fight means to the boxing community, to the boxing fans all over the world. Pay attention. But I will tell you, pay attention to fight week. Pay attention to the little things. Body language, eye contact, who's triggered, who's not triggered. Who looks hungry and who doesn't. It's a classic fight, man. This is a fight that my daddy them talked about. My uncles them talked about. Hagler and Leonard. Hagler and Hearns. Leonard and Duran, you know what I'm saying? These are the fights that they talked about that happened in the 80s. This is a classic fight, showdown fight, man. And it's going down. It's happening. July 29th. Tune in. The big fish, Mr. Man Down himself. The Truth, Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Bud Crawford. Pound for pound, number one in the world. It don't get no better than this, man. Y'all be blessed. More podcasts coming soon, man. We back. Callaway Sports is back up and running, man. I appreciate y'all for taking the time out to join the show again, man. We back up and running. Obviously, we had a lot of time to just sit back and reflect and really do some soul searching on if I want to come back and do this. But here I am, man. I love to do this. I love to take the time out to just sit and talk. And it's just, you know, it's just what I do, you know. It's just what I do. More stuff coming soon. I know we've missed out on a lot, man. We talking NBA Finals, Super Bowls, Tank versus Ryan, Devin versus Loma, Caleb and David. And I mean, I had the itch to, man, I need to get back to it. But, you know, the passion had kind of died down for it just off of things that happened in my personal life. But that fire is back lit, man. That fire is back lit. We back up and run. I do believe that the second half of the year is still going to be as great as the first half. This has been a great year of boxing. Man, we've missed out on so many UFC events as well. But, man, we're going to get to it, man. We're going to get to it. The second half of the year is going to be way better than, you know, the last year and a half, man. So, trust me on that, man. Keep tuning in. Keep spreading the word. Callaway Sports is back on the map. I appreciate y'all, man. God bless. Y'all be easy.